This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have David Lapp with us on the program this week. David is a research fellow at the Institute for Family Studies, an affiliate scholar at the Institute for American Values, and co-investigator of the Love and Marriage in Middle America Project, which is a qualitative research study into how working-class young adults form relationships and families. David blogs at ibelieveinlove.com and familystudies.org. His work has appeared in media outlets such as the Wall Street Journal, the Atlantic Online, and First Things. David is with us to discuss a new report from the Institute for American Values, Center of the American Experiment, and the Institute for Family Studies entitled Mother's Bodies, Father's Bodies, How Parenthood Changes Us from the Inside Out. We will be talking with David about some of the report's key findings regarding the differences between mothers and fathers, as well as the similarities and why and how they work together to produce the best family environment for children. David, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. David, tell us briefly about the origins of this report and its purpose.
Sure. Well, in 2008, the Institute for American Values and the Center for American Experiment and the Institute for Family Studies, they invited about 40 researchers from across the country to meet for 3 days at the University of Virginia to review commissioned papers and to engage in a structured conversation about the question, what is a parent? And as we all know, there's all kinds of debates now about, do we need mothers and fathers? Do we need fathers? What role do they play in the development of their children? And really, this initiative, the idea was to bring together scholars to look at the evidence and see what the sciences are telling us about the role of mothers and fathers in the development of their children, and specifically to bring together scholars from the natural and the social sciences. So you're bringing together neuroscientists, for instance, and putting them in conversation with sociologists. These are two groups of scholars that usually don't talk to each other, because neuroscientists are looking at the brain and sociologists are looking at stats and looking at and talking to people. So this really wanted to kind of bridge that divide and see what the sciences are telling us about parenthood.
Well, that sounds really interesting. David, the report contains 10 key findings regarding mothers and fathers and parenting in general, and we want to talk about several of those findings today. The first two findings deal with how motherhood and fatherhood changes the brains and bodies of both moms and dads. And I can certainly testify as a parent of two children, two teenagers, in fact, that my mind and body has changed a lot during my parenting years. If you will, David, give us a few examples of how becoming a parent physically changes both mothers and fathers.
Sure. Well, you know, you don't have, as all parents are aware, there's the obvious kind of changes. You know, I mean, not a lot of sleep a lot of times. You might feel yourself feeling more tired. And of course, as a woman becomes pregnant, her body is changing in very visible ways. But an interesting thing that the sciences are showing us is these kind of invisible changes that are happening inside of mothers and fathers' bodies during pregnancy and after the birth of children. So, for instance, let's talk about fathers. During pregnancy, if the father is living with the mother and is involved in the mother's life, typically what happens with the father is he experiences a surge of the hormone prolactin. Now, that is interesting because prolactin is the same hormone that helps mothers make milk. And scientists are still trying to figure out what exactly this surge of prolactin does for men, but many scientists think it has something to do with it helps fathers to bond with their children. And note, this is happening during the pregnancy. Then, after birth, again, fathers who are involved with their children and with the mother of the child, they typically experience a decrease in the hormone testosterone. And of course, many of us know that testosterone is associated with kind of the aggressive behavior. So a decrease in testosterone, studies show, is associated with more responsive parenting. For instance, when scientists watched fathers in lab settings, fathers with lower testosterone were held baby testiles longer than fathers with higher testosterone. Now, and this is despite the fact that, as one study found, that men with higher testosterone were more likely to become fathers than men with lower testosterone. But after those high testosterone men became fathers, they experienced significant drops in that hormone. And so really, this is an amazing kind of discovery when you put all this together. What you see is that really the men are hardwired for more than just sex. Fathers' bodies are physically hardwired to connect with children. It's like when a man becomes a parent, his body is pre-wired to help him to connect with his child, if provided that the father is involved with the child's life.
Well, another key finding from the report is that historically, humans have found success with a strategy some have dubbed as, and I quote, a cooperative breeding. Define this term for us, David, and explain what it means and why it's important.
Well, and I prefer the term, the report also uses the term cooperative parenting, which I prefer to use. And that really, cooperative breeding or cooperative parenting, that just is a way to describe the way that human mothers and some other primates raise their offspring with the help of family members, and of course with humans, it's typically with a father. And as we all know, it takes several years for a human child to become independent, and there's this long period of dependence and nurturance in which the child is dependent on mother and father. But we take all this for granted, but this is very different from what happens in most species. Males typically are just there for conception, and then boom, they're gone. And only about 5 to 10% of mammalian species are the fathers there to help. But in humans, the father's role is, of course, critical to the development of children, as we'll talk about later. And so this idea of cooperative parenting is very, very important, and it's just referring to the fact that mothers depend on help, typically a father, to raise their children.
Well, and David, the report highlights a number of ways that mothers and fathers are similar as parents. Can you talk about that a little bit and explain why some may consider this to be a new finding, so to speak?
Well, you know, stereotypically, mothers are associated with more of the nurturing parent, and the report discusses a study that a psychologist by the name of Ross Park, who's a well-known fatherhood expert. Ross Park and his colleagues, they conducted studies in which they watched dads interact with their newborns, and they also watched moms interact with their newborns. And they found that, and I quote here, that fathers touched, looked at, vocalized, rocked, and kissed their newborns just as much as mothers did. And Ross Park and his colleagues, they concluded that dads were just as responsive to their infants' behaviors and verbal cues as mothers were, and just as capable of providing important nurturing care. And this is important because the report also discusses that scholars call the kind of parenting style that is associated with the best outcomes for children, they call this authoritative parenting. And authoritative parenting is describing the powerful mix of affection, involvement, structure, and clear and consistent discipline, those four things, that is associated with very good outcomes for children. And the studies are showing that dads, for all four of those things, they're very good at providing all of those things to their children, as are mothers.
Well, what about, I think traditionally, David, we often think about how mothers and fathers, and you've spoken to this already a little bit, are different in their parenting styles. Talk a little bit about the research project and what it showed with respect to how parents interact differently with their children.
Yes. Yeah, and so there, as we just discussed, there's important ways in which mothers and fathers are similar, but there is also these wonderful ways that they're different. And, you know, many mothers and fathers don't need studies to tell them this, but studies have, in fact, confirmed that dads, for instance, are much more likely to throw their children up in the air. They're much more likely to, in their interactions with children, they're more physical, they're more playful, surprising, and kind of risk-oriented. And as the report says, the father's style of interaction with their children seems geared to push children out of the nest. Now, by contrast, numerous studies have found that mothers are more verbal, they're more affectionate, they're predictable, comforting, and protective with their children. And that style of interaction seems geared to make children feel at home in the nest. Children need both. And mothers and fathers, in their kind of different parenting styles, provide those things. So, again, it points to this kind of thing about how dads are hardwired to connect to their kids in a way that is somewhat distinct from the way that mothers appear hardwired to connect with their children.
Well, David, another important finding in the report is there are distinct yet complementary differences between them. And as the report states, these similarities and differences have, and I'll quote from the report, have found shape in marriage.
Right.
I think this is a really powerful statement in the report. And another thing that the report speaks of is that more than any other institution, a marriage predicts whether both a mother and a father will be involved in a child's life and to what extent. Talk more about this finding about how the mothers and fathers really found or find their shape in marriage.
Right. Well, so we were talking about this idea of cooperative parenting. And in order, and children appear hardwired to kind of connect with their moms and dads in these similar and distinct ways. But the key is, what brings the mom and the dad together, and they make sure that this unit is able to stick together, and that is marriage. And we know, the science is pretty clear here, that when the parents are married, they are much more likely to report having a good relationship with their children, and children are more likely to report a good relationship with parents as well when they're married. So, for instance, one study found that 65% of children of divorce report a poor relationship with their father. That's compared to 29% of children from non-divorced families. And 30% of children of divorce report a poor relationship with their mom, as compared to 16% from non-divorced families. So when mom and dad stick together, children are much more likely to enjoy a bond with both mom and dad. And that's important because, as we've been talking about, children need, for their own development, the contributions of both mom and dad.
Well, that's great advice. And David, unfortunately, we are out of time for this week. Where can our listeners go to learn more about this new report, Mothers' Bodies, Fathers' Bodies, or to read more of your research and articles about marriage, family, etc.?
Sure. Well, I'll mention two links. There's AmericanValues.org, and there's a link to the report there. And also IBelieveInLove.com, and where my wife and I both frequently blog.
Great. Well, let me repeat those websites for our listeners who are interested, and I would encourage you to go and avail yourselves of the information on both AmericanValues.org, again, AmericanValues.org, as well as IBelieveInLove.com. Again, that's IBelieveInLove.com. Well, David Lapp, thank you so much for being with us on Family Policy Matters. We really appreciate your time and your great insights.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.